Well, good morning, everyone. You know, the first time I ever remember singing Waymaker, it was on a trip to Zambia when Trevor was on the team. And it's a good thing I wasn't leading worship and Trevor was present because he's really good at it. I miss him being over at South Creek leading us in that way. But we learned that song as a team. And then when we got to Zambia, we taught the Zambians that song. And there was something incredibly special and different about singing that song with our brothers and sisters from Africa. It was a special moment. So every time we sing that song, it just does something in my heart. And I hope, even as Jess was talking at the end there, he's the way maker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Even when you don't see it or feel it, he is working. He is right there by your side. And some of us have come in with burdens on our backs this morning. We feel like we're carrying the weight of the world. Does anybody feel that? Like, you just almost can't take another step because the burden is so great. Well, let me tell you, he is right there with you. He's the way maker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness. And as we'll talk about in just a few moments, he wants to carry your burdens. He doesn't want you to travel and journey through life, to sojourn through life alone, thinking that it's all on your back all the time and you can't do anything about it. He is in the middle of the storm, holding you up, supporting you, guiding you, directing you, no matter where you're going or what you're doing. So why do we live sometimes like we don't believe that's true? Like we carry the weight of the world on our backs. We carry the weight of everything that's happening on our backs, no matter what's going on, and we feel like we're alone. In this series, Traveling Light, we've been talking about things that hinder us, that hold us, that burden us. In week one, we talked about how sometimes we worship a lesser God. And when we worship a lesser God, when we believe that God isn't who he says he is, we take ownership of so many things, and we think we need to make a way and to do it on our own, and we throw that rock right in our backpack. And we don't necessarily travel light because that becomes a weight for us. And then the second week, we talked about anxiety. I almost dropped that on my toe. We talked about anxiety. And we gave an opportunity, and this might have been the week where it was just incredible because I said, if you have anxiety, if you have fear, if you have things going on in your life that you just can't even breathe anymore, to come up and pray with me. I didn't stop praying with people between or after services. The weight of anxiety that so many people feel is real, and it's just piled in the bag on your back. And last week, my dear friend Shep, he talked about fear. He talked about the weight of fear that so many of us feel that is just such a burden that we don't know what to do with. And my dear friend spoke about what happened on the east side of our city in May. And how his friends, his families, his church is afraid to go to the grocery store. And yes, we can't relate to that, but we're fearful of something. You have that. And we put that weight right in our backpack. And this week, today, is the last week of this series. Where we're going to talk about, and I'll let the cat out of the bag and we'll come back to it. We're going to talk about loneliness. And some of you know the burden that loneliness could be. Because you walk through life each and every day just feeling the weight of loneliness. Like nobody hears you, nobody cares. You're left alone on your to do your own thing. And you just can't even breathe sometimes because no one you feel, nobody cares. And we put all of these things, if I can zip it up, in our bag, and we try to throw it on our shoulders, and we walk around with this weight all the time, and it just holds us down. I think I need to see my chiropractor. But we walk around with the burdens of the things of life that are hindering us, that are weighing us down, that are like this backpack on my back right now. And we can't even move. And in a series like this where we talk about traveling light, you're like, you don't know what my life is like. How do I travel light through the things I have to take this off that are going on every day? How do I do it? Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. Let this be a balm to your soul. Let Jesus' words minister to the very be your very being. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, all who are carrying a backpack full of junk, all of you who are weary and burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, listen to this, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not like this backpack. His burden is light. We've been walking through Psalm 23 this series, talking about how we can walk through with the Lord's help through life. What did David tell us? What did the psalmist tell us about walking light in this world? What does it look like? What does it mean for us? And the final piece we're talking about today is the burden of loneliness. Even when I say those words, some of you are like, yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. The burden of loneliness holds me down. I don't know what to do about it. It's an empty feeling. It's almost like you have a backpack or a suitcase and there's nothing in it because you don't feel like anybody cares or looks at you or notices you or sits with you or talks with you. Sometimes you feel like you're totally invisible in the world, and although the suitcase may be empty, it's so heavy. Everybody can relate to being lonely at some point in our world, in your life, but I want to throw this out there today. And you might think I'm crazy for even suggesting it, but loneliness, the loneliness you feel and experience, can actually be an opportunity to draw closer to God. The loneliness you feel each and every day when you're walking and you don't know where to turn or who to talk to might actually be exactly what you need to wrap your arms around God, to experience his goodness and his fullness and his beauty and his provision for your life, and to say, you know what? I'm not alone. God is right there by my side, holding me up, loving me, caring for me, and walking me through life. Yeah, loneliness, yes, can be an opportunity to experience God in new, fresh, and exciting ways. So when in the quiet of the night, this hits me sometimes, in the quiet of the night, maybe you feel utterly alone. Or maybe you're in the middle of a crowd like this. You're in the middle of people where people are all around and you feel utterly alone. Let the words of Psalm 23 that we've talked about so far and the ones we're about to talk about minister to your soul. If you'd like to read this with me, please do these first four verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Read it with me. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Listen, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Who is our shepherd? Say it. Jesus is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Who leads you along still waters? Who does it? You don't do it by yourself. He is your shepherd. He leads you beside still waters. Who guides you along the right paths in life? The Lord. He leads you in the right path. You are not alone. How are you able to not fear evil? Who gives you the ability to stand up under the evil of the world? You are not alone. He is right there with you every step of the way. My point is that throughout this psalm, David is proclaiming to us that we are not alone, that he is with us, that God is with us. The intimate friend you need and you're longing for and desiring, whether you know it or not, is right there by your side. And for those of us who love and serve and follow Jesus, he's right there by our sides, walking with us arm in arm, sometimes carrying us when we don't even understand that he's there. So what do we come to realize already this morning? God is a companion now and forever to combat loneliness. God is a companion now and forever to combat loneliness. You are not alone. The psalmist proclaims, like we've said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And nothing means nothing. When he says nothing, he means you lack nothing and you don't lack that intimate, close friend if you really embrace the Lord. Let's look at the rest of the psalm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. In this last line, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord himself is preparing a place for you. The Lord prepares a place for you to be present with him forever. And ever's a long time. Not until tomorrow. Not until the current situation you're walking through is resolved or goes one way or the other. He is walking with you forever. The Lord is preparing or setting a table for you. That's what he does. I love this truth that the Lord is, he wants you to sit in his in the presence of your enemies. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Just think about that for a moment. Who are your enemies? Another way to put it, what are the challenges you're facing in life right now? What are the voices that are speaking into your life that you just don't understand why or where they're coming from? What are the things you're facing? And the Lord prepares a table. And I want to sit at the Lord's table, don't you? I don't want to sit at my table. If God prepares a table for us, we had better sit at it. And the Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. I imagine what that looks like as our enemies are looking and saying, why is the Lord sitting with this person? And you're just sitting there, I don't know, but I'm sitting with my God. You can say whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, but I am with my God. You are not alone. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. But it even gets more intimate than even that. He anoints your head with oil. In our culture, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If I walk into a friend's house and they get out the vegetable oil, put some in their hand and slap it on my forehead, I'm wondering what in the world's going on here. If any of you do that, I'll look at you funny. But in the Near East, where this was happening, it was a sign of love and respect and care. You see, it just wasn't any ordinary oil. It was mixed with perfumes and herbs, and it was placed on a person's forehead because weary travelers were just that weary, and it was a way to refresh them, to help them smell better, just calling it what it is, to show that you care and love for. It communicates touch. When you put oil on somebody's head, you have to touch them. It's an incredibly intimate act. Last year when we did the Ash Wednesday service down in the Bayview Chapel, It was the first time ever that I'd put ashes on somebody's forehead. It's just not part of what we do. And I'll tell you, after I was weepy in the middle of that. As people came forward and they offered their forehead to me, it's an intimate act to have somebody touch your head in that way. And that's what's happening here. The Lord anoints our heads with oil. He embraces us. Due to loneliness, sometimes we feel like weary travelers. And as we come to the Lord weary and beaten and burdened by life, He touches our heads as a sign of His love and care and affection for you and me. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with oil. The Lord alleviates your weary burden of loneliness while in His presence. It seems to fade away. I can have the most interesting times going on in my life, but there's something special when I sit with the Lord in prayer and I just let everything else fade away, and it's as if it's just me and Him in the room. And as I do, I feel His presence wash over me, and I feel like I'm not alone. And you have that experience where you trust the Lord to such a degree that you lay everything at His feet and you experience your goodness, and He alleviates your weary burden of loneliness while you're in His presence. But how does the psalm end? By proclaiming that this isn't a short-term arrangement. It isn't something that's here today and gone tomorrow. The psalmist ends with the idea that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when you're weary and burdened and you don't know where to turn and you turn to your Heavenly Father, you are in His presence forever. Even as I say that, I don't believe it. It's hard. I don't see you, God. I don't know where you are, but yet I'm dwelling in your presence forever. Is that good news to anybody else? It's not simply something I do. There's a supernatural thing that happens where we're in His presence forever, and He's right around us. The Lord prepares a hospitable place for you to be with Him now and forever. If you're sitting in this room today, and this is one of your first few times to Revive, and you're saying, what in the world are they talking about? If the whole idea of Jesus in church and what we sang about is foreign and new to you, let me offer you this. If you're burdened and heavy laden, if you've never heard this before, the Lord will give you rest. He wants to embrace you. And all the mess in your life, I don't care what you've done or where you've been or what you've thought or what action you've carried out. The Lord wants to embrace your mess and offer you peace and hope. If you're lonely and you feel like you're wandering through life and nothing matters, listen to this. Loneliness is not about the absence of people. It is about the absence of intimacy or closeness with others. Did you ever think about that? Being alone is not necessarily about not being around other people. It doesn't mean that we don't see other people or engage with others. It means that we're not close. Loneliness does not come from being alone. It comes from feeling alone. Like nobody cares. Back when the scripture was written, roughly 2,000 years ago, when the New Testament was written, there were roughly 250 million people in the world. Today, there are roughly 7.5 billion people in the world. You would think with that kind of staggering population growth that there would be no loneliness in our world if loneliness was simply alleviated by being around other people. One of the craziest experiences I had in my life is when I traveled to India. in the cities of India, and even as you get outside of the cities, you're never alone. There's people upon people upon people everywhere you look, and it's just this most interesting setting. But I bet if you were going to poll those folks who live in India, if you were going to poll them and see if the loneliness was still a factor in their country, I bet they would say, yeah, it's here. How are we alone when there's so many people around us all the time? It can strike you in the middle of the night when you're lying in bed. If your spouse is no longer with you, maybe loneliness just fills your house and your heart all the time. Maybe you're an empty nester, and as you're home without your children, they're off wherever they are. You look around and say, this is bizarre. Or I'm going to say one word that might trigger everybody in this room when it comes to loneliness. It's not a word I like. It's not a word that I had good experiences with growing up. And I bet many of you will feel the same way. The word is cafeteria. In high school, that was the loneliest part of the day. Walking around at times, trying to find a table to sit at, and really not having the opportunity to sit with friends. Actually, as I went through high school, I just started skipping lunch altogether and scheduling right through it. Can you relate to that? A place in your world where there's people all around, but as they're there, you just feel utterly alone. As we have that feeling, I think David, who wrote Psalm 23, can relate to us. I think there were times in David's life when he was either alone in the wilderness, where he really was alone, or he was around people where he felt utterly alone, that he can relate to. Actually, in 1 Samuel, there's a story of when the prophet came to anoint the next king. He went to David's home. And now, this story, just, I'm going to try to tell it. I don't have a ton of time, but I want you to feel the weight of this. David was the youngest of his brothers, and he was out tending the flocks. He was a shepherd. Interesting that he wrote about being a shepherd as he was a shepherd. He understood what it was to be a shepherd. And he was out tending the flocks. And the prophet came and said to Jesse, David's father, bring all of your sons in here because I'm going to choose one of them to be the next king, to follow Saul. And as Jesse brought his sons in, one after the other, he didn't even think about David. David wasn't even on his mind. David was just the little runt of the family, out with the flocks, out with the sheep in the field. And Jesse brought all of his other sons in, David's other seven brothers. And eventually Jesse inspected all of them and said, no, there's somebody else. And Jesse said, oh, yeah, I do have another son. There is one more, but you can't be looking for David. All my other sons are grown up and strong, and this is what they're like. But David, he's just a shepherd boy. And the prophet said, no, bring him here to me now. Imagine what was going through David's mind. I'm sure he knew that his father had called all of his sons together and that David was left out with the sheep, with those dumb, smelly animals. That I'm sure he knew that the prophet was there, because when prophets traveled around, everybody knew of their presence. He knew, yet he wasn't called to be a part of it. Do you think David felt left out and forgotten? Do you think he felt like he didn't matter, or that he didn't have a place in his family, that no matter what happened, he was the last man out? And some of you feel the same way. Maybe you feel like God has forgotten you, the way I'm sure David felt when his father obviously forgot about him or ignored him altogether. But let me encourage you with this. God has not forgotten you. Some of you need to hear that today. Let me say it again. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. If you feel like you're journeying through life all alone, like nothing matters, maybe that's what you need to hear today, that God has not forgotten you. Loneliness is a good opportunity for us to turn to the Lord, to the close relationship he offers us now and forever. God has not forgotten you, and this just might be the opportunity you need to cling on to the Lord, to say, God, it's you and me. I'm walking with you no matter what. I'm going to latch on with all of my strength because I know you haven't forgotten me, God. I know you haven't forgotten me. One of the most difficult situations in life, actually, where loneliness creeps in awful ways is through the death of a loved one, in particular a spouse that you've journeyed through life with for years, for decades for some. I have a video I'd like to share of a woman from our church who attends the Bayview Chapel. Her name's Nancy Hellenbrook. Many of you know and love Nancy. She is a wonderful person. She's actually on my prayer team. We meet every Wednesday via Zoom, and she just prays over us as a church and prays over you. But Nancy has a story about grief and how a ministry we have around here called Grief Share has worked in her life. So please pay attention to the screens for just a moment.
Hi, I'm Nancy Hellenbrook. I thought I was probably doing okay because I was reading my Bible heavy into scripture and walking with the Lord. So I figured I maybe didn't need grief share. When I received that letter, I thought, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. But when I got there, that was totally different. The first video told me, wow. This is good. This is so good. The video speakers were absolutely outstanding. They were just wonderful. We laughed, we cried. It was a wonderful group. And that meant so much. And to see the videos and do it together with people that are feeling the same as you is just wonderful. They answer questions that I had, and I don't know where I ever thought I was going to get the answers to those if I hadn't seen the videos. The way they talked was very applicable to my life. So if you've lost somebody and the pain is still there, I know you're feeling that you're doing okay. I felt that way. I really did. But I decided to go. It was the best thing I had done. The very best thing.
I've walked through a lot of that with Nancy. She's a wonderful person who loves and follows Jesus with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. But she felt alone. She keeps grabbing on to God, and God is supporting her and getting her through. And then she found a ministry like Grief Share where she could really have others speak into her situation, her pain. Let me read these words again from Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you have the Lord, you lack nothing because he is with you. This whole series, we've been talking about traveling light. Sometimes we feel like we have the weight of the world on our backs. We carry it around everywhere we go. You know people who carry the weight of the world. You can see it in their face, can't you? When people are burdened by life. You don't have to carry those burdens by yourself. And being a Christian doesn't mean that the burdens automatically evaporate. When you call on the name of Jesus, it doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory and life is great, because that's not the case. But it does mean that you're not alone. You are walking with the Lord. My favorite thing about this backpack, I've had this pack for years, is the waist belt. The clicks. When you put the waist belt on, all of a sudden the weight is transferred from your shoulders to your waist, to your legs. The burden on your back isn't as great. These things don't matter as much because the weight is transferred to a stronger part of your body. Maybe, just maybe, that's how the Lord works. He helps carry the burden. He transfers the weight from you to himself. He allows you freedom to experience life and to be free from the weight of the burdens. Not that the situations have disappeared, but that as you walk with them, he is carrying the weight, and it isn't on your back. You can turn your head. You can move your arms. Your spine doesn't hurt as much because he's helping you carry the burden. It's time for all of us to start traveling light, to not carry the weight of the world, to not give it to the Lord and then take it back, to not think we can do life on our own, but to trust him with all of who we are, that he will carry our burdens. John 16:33. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. I hate when people say, I became a Christian, I thought all my problems would go away. That's not the case. But you're not alone. And you link up, you yoke up with Jesus, who will carry and help you through and teach you and get you from here to there. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He wants to help carry your burdens. You can travel light. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this chance to learn, to understand that we can release all of these things to you, to be in your presence, to walk with you, and that, Lord, you want to take the weight and transfer it from ourselves to you. You want us to walk free. Not that the troubles disappear, but that we can embrace you and know that you're with us in the middle of them. So, Lord, I pray for all of those who are carrying heavy burdens. They feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. Father, walk with them. Give them peace. Take the weight off of them. Lord, for those in the room who have never claimed you as Lord and Savior and don't even fully understand what that means, Father, I pray that you would be stirring in their hearts. And that, Lord, your still small voice would be speaking to them, saying, this is interesting. You should check it out. Lord, I pray that as a church, we walk lighter, especially as we head into the fall with all the challenges that come. God, we thank you for this morning where we can learn and grow together. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.